The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, so take three. review of what we did yesterday. We defined, as you can see here, we got a final tentative definition of Ruchilus, selectively reporting about other people in a manner prone to harm. So the key here is it's selectively reporting. So you're doing it either in order to impose some narrative, or you're allowing for the imposition of some narrative, but that alone would not be prone, would not be usher. It has to be prone to harm somehow. So, like, you know, if I just said that, like, you know, so and so lived in Seattle once, that's not, you know, unless Seattle's like an immoral place, that's not really like prone to harm. That's just reporting facts. But if the character of the content is prone to harm, either because your omission of certain details will cause people to make assumptions, or you're presenting things in an order or with connotations that are like sketchy, then that would be an example of this. Yeah, Yosef?
Let's say the voice of connotation, or it's to some people to see this itself either inherently insulting, inherently complimentary, create your more unorthodox.
You mean if the people take it as inherently...
Yeah, it's like, it's a statement itself. It's not like it causes people to say bad things about them. They're like, his supporters, they don't know about us. It's just, they're going to say things which his detractors will say. They're bad things, supporters say are good things, but they're saying the same thing.
Right. So that's a tricky situation, because in some cases it might be Ruchilus. In some cases it might be Lashon Hara if it's taken as a degrading comment, or if in some cases it might be Avak Lashon Hara, which means that it prompts the detractors to say bad things, you know?
Yeah. What the things are saying are things which say maybe people would not, doesn't his supporters not even consider bad things?
Yeah, it's tough. I don't know the answer to. I will give two examples, though. One, not recording. Okay, so that's Ruchilus Lashon Hara is degrading speech, and then Motzi Shem Ra is false degrading speech. I had one thought before we go on, which is the thing that we read in the Rambam from Chazal that says, it's a Mishnah. Lo nechtam gezar din al avosina b'midbar ela al Lashon Hara. So the verdict was only sealed on our forefathers in the Midbar because of Lashon Hara. Klomar, inyan ha-meraglim. That's talking about the meraglim. Sh'amar behem v'yotiu dibas ha'aretz, because the pasuk said that they slandered the land. V'amru alei mashalim, Chazal say, Uma elu shehotziu shem ra al etim v'al havani bilvad nischaivu min ha'onesh mash nischaivu. If those who slandered sticks and stones alone were liable for punishment of this severe manner, hamadaber b'gnuz chavero achas kam l'vakama, then kal v'chomer is someone who speaks degradingly about his friend. So the question is, what kind of a kal v'chomer is that? It always is weird. Like, first of all, it's weird to say that they slandered the land, you know? And just because you slander the land, that could be a completely different thing than Lashon. Like, in order for there to be a kal v'chomer is when you have two things that share a quality, but they differ in degree or quantity. And you say, if it's true about the lesser thing, then it's true about the greater thing. So, like, what is even the comparison here about the they slandered the land and got punished, kal v'chomer speaking about your friend? Yeah.
When they even slandered the land, what? Was there a statement that the land is
good? The land is good, but the people are big and intimidating, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right, correct. Yeah, that is funny.
I mean, it does sound like if a general statement is a problem, then like a personal statement is a problem. But how does, I guess, are they connected?
Yeah, I mean, it seems too remote to really fit. I mean, and another angle is if it framed their statement as slandering God, then I can understand it, because God tells them that, or Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, saying that they're going to be able to go in and you know, defeat their enemies, but then I can see the kal v'chomer. A good example of a kal v'chomer, by the way, is what the Rambam did say earlier, which we read last week about Miriam. Miriam, you know, loved Moshe and was his older sister and like cared for him and just made a mistake, you know, that ended up being degrading, but like, you know, she didn't even intend anything maliciously. Kal v'chomer if you do it degradingly, but this is too removed from me. What were you saying, Yosef?
You don't care about like the system for the
long. Yeah, let me see. Dibas, I'm just saying Dibas Haaretz.
What are they saying bad about the land?
Yeah, I feel like we're going to go into the whole sugya of the meraglim, but that's okay because it's peculiar. All right. 33, Bamidbar, sorry. Bamidbar 13:32.
Yeah, in fact, you know what, just in, yeah, I do have my snaf there. I'm just going to read it in English just as for the sake of time. 13:32. I did not intend to work on this today, but it's important, getting a head start on Tisha B'Av. So where does it begin? Spies report. Yeah, so 27 is where it looks like their report begins. So it says, they reported to him and said, we arrived at the land to which you sent us. We arrived at the land to which you sent us, and it, indeed, it flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. So that part's good. But the people that dwells in the land is powerful. The cities are very greatly fortified, and we also saw here there the offspring of the giant. Amalek dwells in the area of the south. The Hittite, the Jebusite, and the Amorite dwell in the on the mountain, and the Canaanite dwells by the sea and on the bank of the Jordan. So that's what they said. Caliph silenced the people towards Moses and said, we shall surely ascend and conquer, for we can surely do it. But the men who had ascended said with him, we cannot ascend to that people, for it is too strong for us. They brought forth to the children of Israel an evil report on the land that they'd spied out, saying, the land through which we have passed to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. Okay, so they did say about the land. It's a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people that we saw in it are huge. There we saw the Nephilim, the sons of the giant. From among the Nephilim, we were like grasshoppers in our eyes, and so we were in their eyes. So let me see if they have, if anyone says, V'yotiyu dibas ha'aretz. Let me just see Rashi in the Torah Tamima. No, Rashi doesn't say anything on that pasuk. And then Torah Tamima, I want to see if the Torah Tamima brings down this drasha. No. Okay, fine. So it is about the land. Still a strange kabbalah homer.
It's the land of them, so.
Yeah.
That's kind of
insult. Right. I mean, it's an insult because it's saying that the land is like, is dangerous, right? Or the land is like hazardous for our well-being.
Right.
Yeah, right. It is weird though, because like from context, they're clearly talking about the people of the land. It's not really about the land itself, you know? Right, right. Yeah. All right. So let's think about that. And let's read what we were going to do today, which we also read yesterday, but we did not think about. Amru Chachamim Shalosh Aviros Nifraim Min Ha'adam Ba'olam Zeb Ein Lo Chelak Lo'olam Haba Avodah Zarah B'Gilui Arayos U'Shvichos Damim Lashon Hara K'neged Kulam. So there are three Aviros that a person is punished for in this world. It's not really three Aviros. It's really three categories of Avira, because there's 51 Isurim of Avodah Zarah and like 20-something, 30-something of Gilui Arayos and then Shvichos Damim, but whatever. 23 Gilui Arayos, okay, whatever. Shvichos, okay, and Lashon Hara is equal to all of them. So the question is, what does that statement say? You know, so the superficial way to read it is, it's really bad, and these things are really bad, you know. But the way that Rabbi Moskowitz approached it, which I don't remember his specific ideas, but we could work it out, is that there is a, like, if you look at each of these three things, there is something that is a very bad quality of Avodah Zarah, which Lashon Hara partakes of. And there's a very bad quality of Gilui Arayos Lashon Hara partakes of, and then Shvichos Damim. So like there's a similarity between the two, and that's why I think it's equal to all of them. Not just that like on the Avera scale, it's really big. So what would be the similarity, the quality of Avodah Zarah that Lashon Hara partakes of? I think, for some reason, I think that's the easiest, well, maybe it's not the easiest one. Yeah, I guess what you, for any of them, what do we think for any of them?
I assume you're thinking for those are a falsehood for Shvichos Damim that kills, and for the rest that could probably also lead to that too.
Okay, so I think that's a good track. I mean, the way I like to phrase the Avodah Zarah one is, I don't remember which shir, but it was a shir that I heard live that Rebbe defined Avodah Zarah. So he was trying to find like the difference between like halachic Avodah Zarah, which has specific forms, and like the shorish of Avodah Zarah, or like the philosophical Avodah Zarah. So he defined philosophical Avodah Zarah as relating to the products of your psyche as a reality, you know? So let's say like in actual Avodah Zarah, the way that works is you have, let's say you're a farmer and you have a certain insecurity about whether you're going to have enough produce. And so you have this fear, and then you know that you can't control the rain, so you project like these exaggerated fantasies of power onto this idol or onto this God. And then you worship the God and believe that if you appease him. So it's this whole, like, you're interacting with a figment of your imagination, but you're convinced that it's real, you know? So with Lashon Hara also, when you speak degradingly about a person, what you're doing is you're taking an actual quality that they have, but then you're
you're treating that as the essence of the entire person. You know, you're painting that to be the entire person, and you're interacting with it as though it's a reality. You know, like, oh, this person is so stupid. This person is so like mean. This person is so arrogant. And so it partakes of that same like action, psychological action of a bodhisattva.
Creating a false reality.
Creating false reality, right. And then interacting with it. You see, it's one thing to just have the false reality, but it's the interacting with it and the doing so in a way that actually has results in the world. Like you're actually like producing, you know, by saying this about the person, you're changing the way that this person is viewed in people's eyes. You know, Shikha's Dhammim, what did you say it was? The killing them?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is going to be taken care of, I guess, in this last statement about Lashon Hara kills three. Yeah, the harmfulness, I think, is going to be the quality. So the Gila Rouse is the hard one, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, musically, I realize I don't think Gila Rouse necessarily.
No, right.
Is not polite with music.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, and you got to remember, I'm heavily involved in the Gila Rouse Sugya this week. So basically, Ram says there are 23 Gila Rouse. 16 of them are all forms of what we would call incest. Some of them are like blood relative incest. Some of it is like, say, sleeping like with your son's wife, you know?
Those are the ones in the portion.
The definition of Gila Rouse is the sexual prohibitions that are chayav kares listed in Aharemos. That's how the Rambam defines it. So there are sexual prohibitions that are not Gilui Raos. Let's say like sleeping with a non-Jew. That's usher, but it's not Gilui Raos because it's not chayav kares. So there's the 16, which are incest. There's two of them that are bestiality. That's a male sleeping with a animal or a woman bringing the animal on herself. Three of them, according to the Rambam, are homosexual relations. There's male and male sodomy. And then there's a separate los ase of sleeping with your father and a separate los ase of sleeping with your uncle, your paternal uncle. A lot of people don't realize that. Then there's adultery. And then there is nida. So those are the 23. Yeah.
The strong inherent temptation.
I think it's going to be connected to that. I think it's going to be where you are like giving in to an unrestrained desire I'm gonna use this in a way that's gonna make it sound more extreme than it actually is, but you are relating to another person as a source of your own pleasure, right? In other words, it's an unrestrained giving in to that pleasure interaction with the person, you know, with Gilui Raos. And with Lashon Hara, you're doing that in a way where you are really relating to them as an object of your own pleasure, because you are, I don't think pleasure is necessarily the way to, I don't want to limit it to pleasure, because you could be doing it out of aggression also, but it's like an outletting of it's an outletting of this desire with this person as the object. Yeah.
Is that inherent to Gilui Raos?
No, it's also for kashrus, but kashrus is less severe than Gilui Raos.
You're saying an objectification. I don't see why. How is Gilui Raos equal objectification?
Well, it's not objectification. It's the fact that you're saying that this having this pleasurable interaction with this person is more important to me than the value of kedusha, right? You're allowing, because all these are framed in terms of kedusha. You know, that if you observe these things, then you're being kadosh, and if you violate these things, then you're being tame, not like halachically tame. So you're allowing this animalistic drive for pleasure to override a tzelem elokim orientation that is based on like, you know, categories of who this person is or higher values, whatever you want to say kedusha is. You know, you're engaging this as an animal, not as a person.
There's one that applies like, say, most lotasos.
Yeah, but not all of them are as bad as Arayos. Arayos is kind of karis, you know.
You're saying that, right, you're basically ignoring things for your own benefit.
Right. Yeah, I do want to say that there is a thing in here that it's another person. You know, I think that there's something about the fact that there's another person. I maybe have to think about that some more.
You just say it's the severity of Arayos?
No, because then I think that then you could fall into Yosef's trap of the of like many other things that are chayav karis also, you know. Yeah, I got to think about it. Yeah. All right, so let's stop here for today. And tomorrow, so we'll think about this. We got to think about the Meraglim thing. And then tomorrow's statement is figuring out how someone who speaks Lashon Hara is a kofer, which actually, you know what? Maybe what we'll do is we'll save that. Yes, it definitely does. Let's actually not work on this in Rama Bakus with the kofer thing. Let's save that, because tomorrow night is Tehillim, where we're doing that perek. So let's see what we get from that parak. And let's say tomorrow, after we do these two, we'll go to the Lashon Hara kills three people, the speaker, the recipient, and the one who had said about, and then the recipient of Lashon Hara more than the speaker. Okay, very good. All right.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Rabbi Schneeweiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening, thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.